This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Do you want to die alone? Do you want to be a spinster for life? Then get that hair off your body.
I'm Lady Life. I've had enough.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to a brand new season of Unladylike, the show that finds out what happens when women break the rules. I'm Caroline with a little bit of a summer cold.
I'm Kristen, and we're kicking off with a three-part series on body hair.
Blanche, did you really start shaving at 11? That seems so young.
Oh, I did it on a dare. You know, back where I come from, everybody thought that once you started shaving your legs, why, you'd become loose. So I shaved them.
Caroline, I don't know that I've ever related more to Blanche DuBois.
You loose woman.
But it's true. Okay, so I think that I started shaving my legs around 11 or 12. And let me tell you, shaving my legs all the way up to the top of my thigh was like my first major rebellion against my mom, because she similarly suggested that if I shaved above my leg that I would turn into a sloot.
Well, what's hilarious is my mom said the same thing, but now at 35, I have reverted to only shaving up to my knee these days.
I am similarly, I feel like my shaving habits are sporadic and kind of patchwork.
Yep, just like the hair on my legs.
Exactly. But the thing is, I've never really stopped shaving since that first time that I grabbed my older sister's razor and was like, screw you, mom. And I did the math. Caroline, I've been shaving my legs and armpits and ripping out my unibrow and lady mustache now for like 20 years.
Yeah, I think, I was pretty much as old as Blanche, too, when I started shaving.
So in your late 60s?
Yep, on the lanai.
But, I mean, clearly there are so many ladylike expectations that are projected onto our body hair, Caroline.
Yeah, I know. And so we wanted to see how unladylike listeners felt about the hair we wear. You know, like, specifically everything except head hair and pubes.
Yeah, the head hair and pubes get enough attention.
Totally, exactly, yeah. And so we asked, and y'all answered.
Definitely been struggling with the like body hair issue. I have this really light skin and really dark hair. I hate it. I have to shave all the time. It's the worst. Just recently, I gave up shaving for a couple months, and it's just the most natural, sexy feeling.
I'm 21 and I haven't shaved my armpit since I was 15. Mostly I did this because at the time I had really long hair, and I didn't know how to signal to other girls that I was queer.
I was born in 1968, so I grew up in a time when adults had body hair, and somehow that changed.
I was in sixth grade and in gym class, and a boy in my class just like mutters underneath his breath, like, oh my God, why does she have so much hair?
I feel like I failed as a feminist with leg hair, but I'm excited about not having leg hair.
There's three chin hairs, and even though I've totally come to accept my body hair, I go after these chin hairs with tweezers like nobody's business. So that's my story.
First of all, Caroline, I love our unladies. But also, I was blown away by just the variety of how we're all sort of negotiating with our body hair in various ways. And obviously, there's a lot in here. We can't sort through all of it in one episode, which is why we have a mini series for this.
Exactly. So over the next 3 episodes, we're going to be combing through the formative experiences, the feminist quandaries, and those deep-seated beliefs that can shape how we choose our body hair choices and why some body hair choices choose us.
In other words, where does our body hair baggage come from? And why isn't it easier to just let it go and let it grow?
Today, we're starting with someone who proves you can give a middle finger to beauty norms and save yourself the time, money, and unsolicited comments it sometimes comes with. For that, we're talking to actor and comedian Sasheer Zamata, who dares to be hairy in Hollywood.
Then, a mom-daughter pair will share what it's like for everyday girls choosing their earliest body hair choices these days.
All to find out, why do most women still take shaving for granted? And how did we get in this hairy mess to begin with?
I've been thinking about body hair lately because I've been shaving my parts since I was a teenager, but it wasn't until recently when I was like, why? Like, I'm not going into surgery every month. What is this for?
This is Sasheer Zamata in her 2017 stand-up special, Pizza Mind. And she's a rare bird in the body hair department.
Well, I'm hairy as hell. I don't groom.
More than 90% of American women regularly shave or remove the hair from their pits and legs. Sasheer, however, is not one of them.
I don't shave my legs. I don't shave my underarms. There's no scaping of any sort.
But of course, she didn't just start out that way. Like a bunch of y'all that we've heard from, growing up, Sasheer just took it for granted that smoothing down her legs and pits was just part of the whole lady package.
I do remember using a razor for a while, and then eventually I was like, this sucks, I'm bad at this. And then I got Nair and would like put this really smelly white cream on myself and let it sit there for a while and have to like kind of air out my body like, yes, a crow while I wait for it to dry. And then wipe it all off and throw it all away.
Sasheer started nairing her forearms after being teased about her hairiness by some classmates.
But then one day in her mid-20s, she started having second thoughts.
And eventually I started being like, why am I doing this again? Like, I'm a full adult. Why am I shaving my forearms? And then I stopped and then I was like, oh, well, that was easy. What if I stopped shaving other parts of me too?
It's funny that you mentioned your arm hairs this year because, like, that's something that came up over and over again in the emails we got from listeners. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's almost like it's the gateway drug for body hair shame, you know? Like, it honestly surprised me, I guess, because when it comes to women and body hair, we don't seem to actually talk about, like, arm hair all that much, you know?
I know, yeah. We talk about legs and armpit and your pussy, but yeah, rarely the forearm. But that, I think that's everyone's first, I guess, introduction to your body hair. Like, that's a easy thing to point at and make fun of.
And especially, I'm a pale woman with dark hair and kind of hairy arms. And I also distinctly remember being around that age in, like, elementary school, middle school, like, starting to notice my body. And I get cold really easily. So there was like the added weirdness if I got goosebumps and then my like...
You look like a long, cat that was scared.
Basically, it would like stand up.
Like a porcupine?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember it being like pointed out.
Yeah, I do remember that being like a thing that people would talk about as if it was like, ew, yuck. Can you believe they have hair there?
Caroline, I do remember. I mean, first of all, when it comes to body hair, kids are pretty cruel.
Yeah, it's like a weird policing thing. Like, they must police you and your hair.
Yeah, and we heard this from a lot of unladylike listeners, too, who had very similar kind of traumatic first experiences of kids basically pointing usually at their arm hair and saying, ew, gross.
Well, it's not just arm hair, and it's not just coming from our classmates.
I had cousins that were close to my age, and they were the ones who were like, oh, you gotta pluck these eyebrows. You gotta shave these legs. You gotta. I just like a lot of you gotta's. And so I was like, well, you're right. I must.
What did they say about your eyebrows?
Oh, I had bushy eyebrows. I had beautiful eyebrows. That's a thing where, like, I try to tell as many young people as possible, please, please don't pluck your eyebrows until you feel like you should. Yeah, I look back at pictures of myself when I'm younger, and I'm like, these were perfect. What was I thinking? And yeah, I don't know. They were just like, you got to get this arch or whatever. And of course, like in the 90s, thin was in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, I really wish I had just like left them alone completely because I think they were fine.
How do you think that, especially when it comes to female body hair and conversations around it, that race and ethnicity fit into or are absent from those kinds of conversations?
I mean, I know there was like a lot of like, you gotta look clean in public. You gotta look clean in front of all these white people. We can't like afford to be dirty or give them any reason to not hire us or put us in this group or seat us at this restaurant or whatever. Yeah, I do think there was maybe like more allowances like in the hippie era or when people were growing out their armpit hair or burning their bras or whatever for like that to be a white woman thing. And not that only white women were doing that, but I think it maybe took more time for other groups of women to do that too, just because we're still trying to get accepted for being us, period, versus like now you need to get accept us au naturel.
What about your mom in particular? Like, what was her stance on body hair?
I know she sometimes had hair. So I don't think she was so anal about it. She wasn't like, I can't have anyone see me with hair ever. Because I do remember her having armpit hair sometimes or leg hair. I remember I had an aunt, her sister, her older sister. She was saying something about leg hair, and I was like, ew, yuck, I don't want to have leg hair. And she's like, really? I like having leg hair because when I wear pantyhose, you can see cool squiggly designs. I was like, I guess.
So did she give any shits when you stopped shaving recently?
Yeah, there was never really like a big drastic discussion of like, the women of our family do this, or, you know, oh, my goodness, you're rocking the boat by doing that. It was just like, whatever you want kind of energy. There's more drama when I cut my hair, the hair on my head, because I had long, straight, permed hair, and then I cut it to be natural.
Sashir decided to cut her hair at 19.
How did it feel at first?
A little scary, because I had never made a huge change to my appearance like that before. I just felt different. Yeah, it was scary, but exhilarating.
How did those two feelings compare when you cut your hair and then when you stopped shaving?
The cutting my hair felt more like an active choice and like a huge choice because it is something that you see on my head. My body hair, not everyone's going to see that. And also, like, that's a rejection of the conditioning that I went through in my life. Instead of, like, choosing to be like, I'm going to do this. It's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And that feels more of like a settling into myself feeling.
One of the most surprising things that Sashir told us was that, for the most part, folks don't really notice her body hair.
But it has changed how she notices other women's body hair.
Honestly, I've seen other people with hairy legs or armpits, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I do like it. I like seeing it, and I want to be a part of the club. I like that. I like the solidarity.
Yeah, I was honestly pumped to see Alana Glazer's pit hair, like proud pit hair on Broad City. Like at some points, I felt like she was just looking for excuses to keep her arms in the air, just to be like, fuck yes, this is my pit hair. And it's on TV. But is it challenging to be a hairy woman in Hollywood?
So far, not a problem at all.
Really?
I did think about that. Yeah, when I you know, first stopped, I was like, oh my gosh, if I get a project or something, I'll probably have to shave or something like that. And I remember I booked a movie and I just shaved automatically. No one asked me to. I didn't ask if I should or not. I was just like, I just probably should because there's going to be like a love scene and I should, you know, you're going to see my legs and my armpits and stuff. And then I shaved myself and then you didn't see any of that anyway. The camera was so far from my body. You're going to, it didn't matter. And then after that, I was like, oh, I'll just wait for someone to tell me. If you really need me to shave, they'll tell me. And people are blunt. I mean, most of what we do is aesthetics and appearance. So they will be like, you need to get rid of this. You need to add this. You need to, they'll tell you. So I've done many, many projects since I've stopped shaving. And I've never had anyone be like, oh, could you shave those pits, please? Because we're going to see them. Like, yeah, it hasn't come up.
This shocked me, Caroline. I was so surprised that Hollywood has not given Saoirse hell.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Julia Roberts, of all people. So back at the Notting Hill premiere in 1999, photographers snapped pics of her hairy armpits as she was, like, waving to the adoring crowds, and it incited a media frenzy.
I remember this so distinctly, Caroline.
Well, how could you not, Kristen? It is still, like, the most cited pit incident in history, like, every time you read an article about body hair.
Well, a decade later, we clearly hadn't chilled the fuck out about body hair because in 2010, Monique won an Oscar, but all folks could talk about were her hairy legs, which, by the way, were old news. Like, here's Monique in 2006 talking about her hairy legs on The View.
I also heard that you don't believe in shaving your legs.
No, I don't.
Show us.
You know what? I gotta
and
show.
Why not?
Wait a second.
America.
I just ate breakfast. I must show America what a real leg looks like.
Robert, in the winter, do you ever wear pantyhose with the hair showing through?
Yes.
That's attractive.
You don't mind?
Caroline, there is so much going on in this clip. I mean, the fact that you have Joy Behar in the back saying, oh, I just ate my lunch. Like, and the look of horror on Boba Walta's face. It's startling, and I gotta say that the way that Monique's hairy legs and body were talked about was of a very different kind of tone than Julia Roberts' armpits were talked about. And sure, like, Monique is a comedian, some of it's being done to play up for laughs, but the kind of racist attacks that were made against her for being proudly hairy was truly disgusting. Also because it was so recent.
Yeah. And, you know, Monique actually made hairy headlines again in 2015, this time by shaving her legs.
Do you think that we can evolve past these, like, feminized body hair ideals? Is it even possible?
I think so, definitely. I think there's more desire for different types of bodies and different ways bodies can look. And since it is hair, thankfully, it grows back, it goes away. If you do grow it out and you don't like it, you can get rid of it. But it's worth a try.
Just don't overpluck those eyebrows.
Yeah, please don't overpluck those eyebrows. Please. You will regret it. Those things don't come back.
Coming up, we'll unpack the claptrap of this whole hairless feminine ideal and why it's so hard to just ignore.
Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
We're back. And Kristen, I genuinely love Saoirse's idea that giving up the razor or just tossing out that Nair can be so easy. Like, intellectually, it just seems so refreshing, not to mention, you know, like, time-saving. But I started shaving the summer before sixth grade, and I've never stopped.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't either. I even once accidentally got my entire butt waxed. Not even kidding.
Isn't that in a Sex and the City episode?
No, it happened to me, and then a man dumped me like 2 days later. But even though, like, just letting it grow isn't complicated for folks like Sashir, like, we know that for other people, it can be. Speaking just for myself, in times when I have just let it all grow, you know, I'm not just talking about my butt hair here, like, usually those haven't been the best times for me mental health-wise. So there was a letter that we actually got from a listener named Natalia that really resonated with me on this level. She wrote, "Recently, I stopped removing body hair for a while as I went through a depressive episode, dropping non-essential tasks to help me cope. I realized how much of an unwelcome bummer it was to have more body hair than usual, a reminder that I didn't carve out the time and effort to put in the work, so to speak, of being, well, ladylike."
And I feel that. I really do. I totally empathize. And then, honestly, though, that feeling just tumbleweeds into, well, whose expectations am I meeting? Do I feel bad about feeling bad? It honestly just becomes this tangle when it's like, should I just not care? Because it's just leg hair.
Right. And also, we don't want to have to just fall back on the, well, if it's a choice that I choose, then it equals feminism and we're fine. So let's just stop thinking about it. And this really, this whole tug of war that we're having out loud right now is one echoed from a lot of listeners, too. Like, along with that bigger question of, why can't I just get over it? Why can't I just be Sashir?
Well, Kristen, it sounds like it's time to unpack some body hair claptrap.
Unpack the Claptrap is the part of the show where we shave off patriarchal expectations to find out why things are the way they are. And why we gotta care so much about our hairy legs.
Okay, first things first. Men and women have been removing body hair for ages. Like, literally more than 30,000 years ago, folks were scraping hair off with shells and shark teeth, okay?
Ouch.
Yeah, and 5,000 years ago, people in India and Egypt were fashioning some of the world's first razors made from copper.
But to understand how hairiness came to be seen as arguably, like, the ultimate beauty blemish for modern women, Caroline, we've got to follow the three H's. Hierarchy, hemlines, and Hitler.
Hitler?
Yeah, Hitler. Okay. But first up, hierarchy. And all that starts with another dude we've all heard of before named Charles Darwin, who wrote a little book called The Descent of Man.
Okay, so it's the 1870s, and as part of old Chuck D's theory of natural selection, he frames human hairiness as a measure of how evolved we are. So, like, more visible body hair equals more primitive, while less hair means you're more evolutionarily advanced.
And it doesn't stop there. As Rebecca Herzig writes in Plucked, A History of Hair Removal, which is fascinating, by the way, racial scientists of the day believed that more visible sex differences between men and women supposedly signaled higher anthropological development.
So basically, white dudes concoct this, like, fake hierarchy that kind of relies on female hairlessness to prove their civilized superiority. Which, I mean, it's no coincidence then that around this time, quote, excessive female hair growth is first pathologized as a medical disorder by the American Dermatological Society.
Also, it's getting linked to mental health disorders, Caroline. Like, scientists were also falsely linking female facial hair in particular to insanity, as well as, and I quote, criminal violence, stray sexual instincts, and exceptional animal vigor, which honestly sounds a little bit like a compliment these days.
Quite a euphemism. Okay, well, with all of that nonsense brewing in the early 1910s and 20s, we get to our second H, hemlines. Fashion started revealing women's ankles and armpits for the first time. And naturally, the more skin that's in, the more beauty products arrive to keep it hair-free and unblemished.
But we're not talking about razors quite yet. There were all these ads for what are called depilatory or hair removal creams and powders that hammered home this idea that, ladies, the hair on your face, neck, and arms, and certainly underarms, was not only embarrassing, but also humiliating. Like, humiliating. That's in the ad copy.
Mm. Yeah, but some of those creams, Kristen, contained super sketchy ingredients. Like, in the early 1930s, there was this one cream called Kremlu that actually killed and injured thousands of women because it was made from literal rat poison. Oh, and not to mention the radiation and x-ray treatments that women would use to just, you know, shine some frickin' radiation on their legs and hope the leg hair fell off and kept the skin intact.
And that they didn't just, like, suffer horrible radiation burns and develop cancers later in life.
No big deal.
Yeah. I mean, that, though, goes to show just how committed we became to achieving that hairless ideal. And this is well before Gillette introduced its first lady's razor in 1915, which was called perfectly the Milady Decollete. And, you know, speaking of razors, Caroline, we basically nerded out on body hair and the history of shaving so much that we actually got to be armchair experts recently.
Yeah, that's right. Back in February, Kristen and I did a whole episode about razors, specifically Gillette, for another podcast called Household Name.
Today, Gillette and the story of why we shave. Is it oppressive? Is it liberating? Is it both? And what does Gillette have to do with all that? Kristen Conger and Caroline Urban are here to investigate.
It's a great show. Y'all would really love it. And you should definitely go listen to the whole thing if you want even more detail on the surprising history of razors, which we know you do. Just look for the episode called The Best a Woman Can Gillette.
Ugh, love that pun, Caroline.
But Kristen, what about Hitler? Like, you can't just drop Hitler as the third H and then not follow up.
Okay, Hitler, here we go. Well, as far as leg shaving goes, it didn't really happen en masse for women until Hitler and World War II came along because Hitler was like, ladies, shave your legs. No, I'm kidding. It had taken Gillette and other razor companies really decades since the 1910s to convince women that razors were for them too, because up until that point, Gillette had actually done such a great job of selling shaving specifically as something manly that men did for purposes of masculinity.
And so during the war,
caused by Hitler.
Right. Silk stockings weren't available, so bare-leggedness was the new wartime fashion, along with leg makeup to cover up your leg hair.
Yeah, we aren't kidding about leg makeup. Like, if you think of, like, a MAC counter in a department store today, you could walk into and have ladies similarly make over your legs. So in a way, when safety razors came along more cheaply in the 1940s, women were like, okay, finally, yeah, you know what? Let's do this, because leg makeup, that just sounds wild, Caroline.
You take away my sleeves in the 1910s. You bring up my hemlines in the 1940s. God help me, I've just got to keep shaving up to my neck.
Well, fortunately, Ladies Gillette is here.
Legs, 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 new Lady Gillette does wonderful things for your legs.
This is a 1965 Gillette commercial.
Free tote bag, too. Does wonderful things for your legs. New Lady.
Love that they were hawking free tote bags back then.
And so did a lot of other women. By the mid-1960s, 98% of American women were regularly shaving their legs.
And we really haven't stopped because, I mean, as any millennial baby knows, shaving makes you a goddess, Caroline.
I'm your Venus. I'm your fire.
Only Venus from Gillette makes it easy to feel as smooth as a goddess.
That's a Gillette Venus commercial from 2001. And I mean, listen, they really stayed on top of that 1965 smooth leg marketing, but with a dash of millennial girl power. Or should I say goddess power?
Oh, yes, please say goddess power. And we are going to dig more into goddess power / feminism in our next episode.
Oh.
But for decades, the message was pretty clear. Less is more.
But now that's starting to change. I don't know if you've heard, Kristen, but body hair, It's pretty hot right now.
Oh, I've heard. I mean, I lived through January. Nike also recently featured a hairy lady pit in an ad.
Last year, Vogue reported that, quote, a new generation of women are embracing body hair. And Marie Claire followed up with a headline declaring rainbow-dyed unicorn armpit hair was the best beauty trend of 2019 so far. So, you know, we're getting some pretty mixed messages here, which makes the shaving choices even more complicated.
Right. And that's why we wanted to zoom in on that decision to start shaving or not by talking to a girl who is in the throes of tweenage hair choices right now.
So, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you see a grown-up woman with body hair?
I don't know. I just picture a grizzly bear. I don't know why.
This marvelous fifth grader's name is Vera, and she's right at that impressionable age when you and, you know, everybody at school starts to notice your body hair.
We'll hear about Vera's journey and meet her mom, Kat, after the break.
One of my biggest conundrums in deciding to not shave my legs anymore is, if it is noticeable, are people just going to like roll their eyes like, oh, look at that feminist?
We're back. And this is 29-year-old unladylike listener, dirty feminist, and mom to Vera, Kat.
We talked to Kat by Skype from her home in central Missouri. She wrote in to tell us about parenting a tween on the cusp of shaving.
And her recent decision to keep her winter hair growing past January all the way to now.
I sort of sat down and evaluated to myself my reasons for why I feel the need to remove the hair from my legs. And am I really doing it for myself? Am I doing it because of other people's perceptions of it, you know?
So, Kat, how would you describe your leg hair? Like, how visible is it?
I think I'm about average. I don't know. I don't think most of us women really have a good concept of what is a lot of leg hair on a woman, because we just don't see it a lot.
Well, so how does it feel, though, to walk around as a hairy gal?
Oh, it's great feeling the wind blow through my leg hairs. It might sound kind of cheesy, maybe a little cliche, but it is honestly liberating to go out in public and be like, yeah, I got hair on my legs and I don't care.
But it seems like right as Kat found liberation with her leg hair, Vera found tweenage shame. Recently, she started complaining about her body hair to Kat, calling it gross. What's going through your mind as she's telling you this?
Well, a lot of heartbreak, because it's part of her getting older, and I want her to be my little baby forever. But also, you know, I wish like I could just tell her that these are not things you really need to worry about, and she could just accept that and be fine and not worry about it anymore. But it's so much more complicated than that.
So once you stopped shaving, did Vera notice? Did she care? Did you say anything to her about it?
I mean, I did kind of tell her. I'm like, hey, check this out. I'm done shaving. And she's just like, yeah, that's great, Mom. But she's more concerned about what's going on with herself and her body hair and her decisions, you know. And part of me making my decision is that I think I felt so uncomfortable about, you know, going out in public and just like not shaving anymore, because I never knew anyone in my life that didn't shave their legs anymore. Every single woman that I know shaves their legs. And I sort of want to be that person for my daughter that says like, yeah, it's okay to have body hair.
Well, thank you, Kat. We loved talking with you. And I'm wondering if we could maybe get Vera on the phone?
Yeah, no problem. I love talking to you, too. I will get her up here.
Thank you.
Oh, don't break anything, hon.
We were obviously pumped to talk to Vera, and I think it's safe to say she was pretty excited to talk to us, too.
Hi.
Is it adjusted?
Hi. Is this Vera?
Yeah.
We especially wanted to talk to Vera for a first-person perspective on those earliest body hair choices as they're actually setting in, like, right now in this moment.
Right, because when you're 11 and you're in the thick of trying to figure out who you are, going against the grain is easier said than done, especially when shaving is almost like a girlhood rite of passage, like right there with getting your period and a training bra.
Okay, let's talk about body hair. What is the first thing that you think of when you just hear the term body hair? What comes to mind?
Well, like big frizzy hair just coming out of my legs and arms, and I try to prevent that, and sometimes at night, I will take a scissor and cut my hair off just to try to stop the growth for a second. But my mom told me that if I do that, it'll grow even more thicker, which I... Yeah, you did.
For the record, Kat says she definitely did not give Vera this misinformation.
And y'all, it is misinformation. Shaving does not make your hair grow back thicker, faster, or darker. Full stop.
Yeah, and if you don't believe us, just Google it.
It's on Mayo. What do you think about your mom deciding to stop shaving her legs?
Well, I don't think I've decided yet.
Still thinking
That's okay.
about it. I understand. So, Vera, how would you describe your body hair?
Well, it's sort of like blondish. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like really light and it's just like sort of furry. And sometimes in the morning on the bus when comes on.
Y'all, by the way, we're bleeping Vera's friend's name here because she asked us to protect her privacy on this very sensitive subject.
She'll sit by me and talk to me and she'll be like, oh, I hate my hair. And I'm like, you should see my hair.
Well, I do want to go back and ask you about cutting your arm hair with scissors. When did you do that for the first time? What kind of prompted you to snag some scissors and go for it?
Well, I got a bit tired of it for like a week. And like a night later, I was like, you know what? I'm done with it. And I just did it.
How did it feel?
Felt good. It felt light. And sometimes I gotta do it in some weird places because I got a hairy family. Because my dad is from New Jersey and my mom is from Michigan. So we are born with hair. So because, you know, mammals have to have thick fur in order to keep themselves warm in the winter. So it's usually cold up there most of the time.
Yeah, northern people need lots of hair.
That's nice, though. I get cold so easily. Mm. I'd like a hair jacket.
I think they just call those fur coats. Do you ever feel like you want to shave your body hair?
Yeah. Like when it's hot and I'm wearing shorts because pants will make me really hot. So on cool days, I have the opportunity to wear pants to cover up my leg hair. Because it's like ratty. It's like ratty like my dog's tail.
No! No! Yeah, you're saying your leg hair is ratty?
Yeah, a bit.
Why do you say that it's ratty and why don't you like your body hair?
Because sometimes I will have to stroke it down in order to be nice and smooth. And sometimes it'll just like stick up and look like I'm a bear.
Well, Vera, do you ever feel like other people like even notice your body hair? Or do you feel like they're just focused on themselves and they maybe don't notice it?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, well, it's more like, hey, you got body hair on you. You should maybe shave it with this product because I used it and look at these legs.
So your classmates are telling you that you should? How many people are saying this?
Just a couple.
Is it usually girls or boys or both?
Girls. Because boys in my class, well, in my grade, are proud of their body hair. because it makes them look manly. But girls, when they see that and they look at their body hair, they look like they're like men and women.
I mean, what do you think about that? That boys get to be proud of their body hair, but girls get made fun of?
I'm a bit jealous of the boys.
Man.
Are any of your friends shaving their legs or underarms yet?
Yeah, like 95% of them, excluding me. Well, including me. I'm that 5%. I'm probably like the only one that hasn't started shaving.
How come?
Because I'm worried that I might get a cut and it might stick out. And when it's a hot day and I would need to wear shorts, someone will think that I attempted to without help and I cut myself because I'm not used to it. So I just not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it sound like it's a lot of, it's not worth the trouble.
Yeah.
Why do you think that most girls, the, you know, the 95% of those girls start shaving? What's that about, do you think?
Because in my grade, there's a bunch of people, there's a bunch of girls with boyfriends and they want to impress them to keep the boyfriends. The first girl I've known to have a boyfriend was probably
I take it that she shaves.
Yeah. She, like, is, like, a drama girl, and she just does a whole bunch of drama about what a slob she is when she doesn't shave her body hair off daily.
Vera, do you think, like, why do you think that she thinks that that's, like, slobby to not shave? Like, why do you think she's saying that or thinking that?
Probably because she has a lot of friends and she doesn't want to lose them. And she's like a really popular girl. So she has to be a person to look up to and not a person with a bunch of slobby hair.
Do you think that it's strange at all that we think people will like us less if we have a lot of like hair on our legs or arms?
Yeah, I do think it's really strange because It's just body hair. You're just trying to stay warm in the winter. That's what all animals have. Well, all mammals.
It sounds like, if I want to make sure that I have this equation right, it sounds like girls start to shave because in order to be popular and to have a lot of friends and to get boyfriends, you have to start shaving.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, you have friends. What do you think that you will do as, like, you know, as your hair keeps growing? Do you think that you will just let it keep growing and just see what happens or what? Because it does sound like a lot of work just for friends who should maybe be your friends anyway.
Yeah, because they're bad friends if they just judge you by your image. It's the inside that counts.
Right, but do you think that? Do you feel that that's true?
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, so many people judge other people by how they look. You can't judge a book by its cover.
And you can't judge a gal by her leg hair.
Nope.
You know, Kristen, I kind of get the impression that Vera might have just been telling us what we want to hear.
Yeah, like she knows inner beauty is supposed to be what counts in everything, but intellectualizing those choices at 11, like truly embracing body positivity right at puberty,
that's not easy. And Vera's mom, Kat, is fully aware of the middle school struggle.
I mean, they're at this age, they're just so concerned about like what's right in front of them. You know, when it comes to themselves and their own choices, like it's still very much ruled by the playground.
And those playground rules, which honestly, like they stretch back centuries, regenerate with each new generation. For Sashir, she eventually broke out and went her own way. Kat's making up her mind, but talking to an actual 11-year-old in middle America, I think illustrates how hard it can be to make that choice before all of the gender nonsense is kind of stuck in our brains, like when you're first actually confronted with it.
Plus, even if we want to choose our Let It Grow choice, sometimes our bodies just get in the way.
So in our next episode...
I don't quite feel like I'm up for the challenge of walking around and being like, yeah, totally, I have a beard, whatever.
What happens when your feminism and body hair choices feel like they don't match up or you're doing it wrong? And how the heck did hairiness become a feminist debate in the first place?
Tune in.
Okay, y'all, we know you have more thoughts to share, and we've got the perfect place for you to share them, our private Facebook group. We've got a thread in there about this episode, so join it and tell us what you think.
You can also email us at hello@unladylike.co or find us on all the socials at Unladylike Media.
And speaking of socials, y'all gotta head over to our Instagram and check out the amazing illustration that our friends at Miss Gloria made for this episode. They're partnering up with us to make an illustration for each of the three episodes in our mini-series, so don't miss them.
And make sure you check out our website for our sources and resources, plus a link to that household name episode we talked about earlier.
Oh, and you want even more? Well, you can also find our merch and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get actually good news about women in the world every Wednesday, even though it seems like there's not much to go around these days.
Find it all at unladylike.co.
And also, y'all, Sashir, who y'all heard at the top of the show, she's starting her own podcast. It's called Best Friends, and she's co-hosting it with past Unladylike guest and her current BFF, Nicole Byer. It'll be out on June 12th, but you can hear a sneak peek if you stick around to the end of the show.
Abigail Keel is the senior producer of Unladylike. Nora Ritchie is our associate producer. Gianna Palmer is our story editor. Ash Sanders and Ali Delianis transcribe our tape. Our music is by Flamingo Shadow, Amit May Cohen, and Sarah Tudson. Mixing, sound design, and additional music is by Casey Holford. Our executive producers are Chris Bannon and Daisy Rosario.
Special thanks to Brendan Burns at Stitcher LA. And we are your hosts, Kristen Conger
and Caroline Irvin. And y'all, if you can't wait until next week for more Unladylike, sign up for Stitcher Premium. Every Wednesday, we release a brand new pep talk. Tomorrow, we've got one on online dating from our hilarious friend, Nagin Farsad.
Go to stitcher.com/premium and use code UNLADYLIKE for a month of free listening.
And make sure you're subscribed to Unladylike in Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
And remember, got a problem?
Get Unladylike. What do you think is the most unladylike thing about you?
I am a bit inappropriate.
Vera!
How so?
I have a friend that is like 50 times more inappropriate than me.
We're talking about you, not your friend.
I know.
Do you not want to say it because you're sitting there with your mom?
Yeah.
No worries, Vera. We get it. We get it.
Stitcher.
So, yeah, okay. Here's our segment where we talk about iconic best friends.
Yay! Okay. Thank you, studio audience.
Yeah, we have a studio. This is live in front of a studio audience. Okay, it's the first episode. Let's talk about iconic, the most iconic set of best friends. Oprah and Gail. We're trying to get them on the podcast.
I believe it'll happen one day.
I think it's going to happen. Word is out to them. Gail, if you're listening, please come on down to Earwolf.
Come on down to Earwolf.
There's valet. You don't have to park your own car. You'll get a ticket in classic valet fashion.
We got chips.
There's chips here.
Soda.
There's water. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you want, you know, like food, I could bring you something.
They have a panty story.
Yes, because the intro to Gail's old radio show was, I was at Oprah's house and there was a thunderstorm and I couldn't go home. And Oprah said, why don't you stay here? And I said, but I don't have any panties. And Oprah said, you could wear mine, which is so funny that they thought that was a relatable best friend yeah. story, because I have never worn your panties.
And I've never worn your panties.
No. I don't even know in what context that would happen.
I'd also be like, girl, just sleep here. Like, you don't have to, you really need panties to sleep?
Well, sometimes my little snatch gets all, gets all rubbed raw. gotta cover it up. The sheets be tearing up my pussy, so I gotta protect her with some underwear. Not the ones I wore today. A brand new pair out of a drawer.
When I go to sleep, I sleep hump everything. And the panties are a good guard to make sure that I don't get too raw. So I gotta have them.
Isn't that disgusting? Raw to
raw.
You?
Raw.
I said that to you the other night.
You did.
I'm standing outside Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Inside, there are like a trillion objects, and I have to go in there and find 10.
So we open a drawer here, and there's Indiana Jones's jacket and Indiana Jones's whip.
What is this?
Now Prince donated this guitar.
I'm Asif Manvi, and I am lost at the Smithsonian. Where do I begin? This place is obviously full of fascinating stuff.
Fonzie's jacket, right? Worn by Henry Winkler on Happy Days.
There are 156 million objects in the Smithsonian's collections.
Here are Muppets.
These aren't just objects. They're pieces of America's self-identity.
I'm looking at a robe with the name Muhammad Ali.
Only 10 episodes, only 10 objects.
That's pretty amazing.
Lost of the Smithsonian is out now. Subscribe now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.